was borrowed for 3 days. His body there will not remain. I've got today. We'd like to just
honor you and give you a gift pack right where you're sitting. Is anyone here for the first time? Would you mind waving your hand? God bless you. There's a couple of things. One is a teaching CD from Pastor Steve. We put it in there hoping it'll be an encouragement to you. There's also a white card. You can just take a moment and fill it out. At the end of the service, we pass out the bag by, and you can just drop that card in, and it gives us a chance to give you a call and just find out how you enjoy the service. Wonderful. We are ready for the word, right?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Ready.
Praise God. Everyone's doing good today?
Yes.
All right, how are you? Good morning. Good, man. Well, it's great to see you. Chester, we've adjusted a little bit from last week. Tell your neighbor, I'm glad you're here this morning. Praise God. You know, we are excited because on Tuesday we had our final meeting at the city. And we got our approval, our zoning approval for our new building. We got the letter that we need to get. So we're excited. There's our new building. It's on Indian Town Road, 1224 Indian Town Road. The former Girl Scout building, as you can see, the sign has been removed. And I do have plans I wanted to show you of the floor plan. Unfortunately, we had a little problem with the file, and we weren't able to convert it. We'll have it fixed for next week. Next week, I'll show you the floor plans. We've applied for building permitting so that we can start with renovations. Our first step is demolition, because right now it's all offices, so we've got to take out all of the interior walls, I believe. And then we'll build the sanctuary. The sanctuary is going to be on the right-hand side here. And the children's classrooms are going to be on the left-hand side. We have offices going upstairs. And so we're excited to get started. We're excited to get into our new building. Anyone else excited about getting into our new building? And I know that the setup team are very excited about it. Vicky and team are very excited about it. We want to sincerely thank everybody who has already given to our new building. We appreciate your support so much. You know that we've already put down the first 6 months' mortgage payments have been paid in advance. We have paid for all the zoning, the lawyers, the attorneys, the architects. The closing fees, we'll be closing this month, is about $40,000 of closing fees. We've got that money. So we've got everything we need up until this point. But now we're asking you that we're trusting God, because we still do need to raise funds for the renovations, which we're looking at around $100,000. So really we need to raise $100,000 over the next few months. And we're saving funds every week by being down here instead of being up in the ballroom. We save $1,800 a week by being down here. That's all going to the new building. So thank you for giving, and thank you for continuing to support the new building. I believe the Lord is making a way where there didn't seem to be any way. And I believe God is stirring our hearts. And I want you to know, as you put God's kingdom first, Jesus said, if you seek first the kingdom of God, then all these other things that you need will be added to you. Amen. I have found that when you put God's house first, and when you help to build God's house, God helps to build your house.
Right.
Amen? Amen? It's amazing how it happens. When you put God first, and you begin to give to the kingdom, give to the new building, and help God's house, it's amazing how blessings start to appear in your own life. Isn't that right? So praise the Lord. We're excited about it. And I also want to welcome those who are watching us online and on Facebook. I want to give a shout out to Mark Bello, Mark yes. and Nina. Mark is in hospital. I went to see him yesterday. A freak thing happened. He hyperextended his neck, ended up with blood on the brain. And he's been in ICU for 7 days. And I'm believing the Word of God says, the Lord says in Jeremiah 30 verse 17, it says, I will restore your health.
Yes.
and healing of your wound. Mark, we agree in the name of Jesus that the Lord is restoring your health and healing you and raising you up, and we give Him all the honor and all the glory. If you agree with that, say amen. Praise God. Now this morning, I want to speak to you. The title of this message this morning is called God is Looking for This. What is God looking for? What is it that gets His attention? What is it that brings Him delight? Well, Jesus told us in John chapter 4 in verse 23, it says, but the time is coming, indeed it's here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship Him that way. It says that the Father is looking for those who will worship Him. Who's God looking for? God is looking for people to worship Him. God is looking for worshipers. I want to be one of those that God is looking for. How about you? I mean, think about it. God, the creator of heaven and earth, this awesome God, is looking for something. I'm looking for those who will worship me in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
How many want to be one of those that God is looking for? You know, often when I don't look around a lot, when we have our time of worship and praise, I like to focus on worshiping the Lord. But every now and then, I catch a glimpse.
Please try again.
So every now and then, I'll look around and I'll see sometimes people not worshiping, just standing there in our worship time, just standing looking around. Let me tell you, if you can't worship God here in church, how are you going to worship Him anywhere else?
Amen.
If you won't worship God here in church, why would you worship Him anywhere else? This is the easiest place in the world to worship God. You know why? Because everyone else is worshiping Him. And you know, God delights in our praise. So many places God told us to praise Him. That's such a quiet door, isn't it? Glory, glory. So many places God told us to worship Him. For example, 1 Chronicles 16, verse 23. Everyone on this earth, sing praises to Him. How many of you know everyone includes you? Say, that means me. Say, I'm a part of everyone. Everyone on the earth. Everyone sing praises to Him. Psalm 150 verse 6. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Do you have breath today?
Yes. Yes.
Psalm 134 verse 1. Praise the Lord, all you servants of the Lord. Lift up your hands toward the sanctuary and praise the Lord. It says, all you servants of the Lord. Not some. All. Say again, that means me.
Amen.
Psalm 147 verse 1. Shout praises to the Lord. Our God is kind and it is right. And it is good to sing praises to Him. If it's right to sing praises to God, then that means it's wrong not to. If it's good to sing praises to God, then that means it's bad not to. Right? Listen to the Passion Translation. How beautiful it is when we sing our praises to the beautiful God, for praise makes you lovely before Him and brings Him great delight. The Bible says that when I give God praise, it makes me lovely and it brings Him delight. Judges 5 verse 10. Let all Israel, rich and poor, join in His praises. That means it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you're rich, doesn't matter if you're poor, doesn't matter if you're famous, doesn't matter if you no one knows you, it doesn't matter who you are in this world, everyone is to sing praises to Him.
Amen.
Amen. Doesn't mean if you doesn't matter if you're a tough he man, silent type. I'm the silent type. You know, Clint Eastwood. I'm too tough to sing praises. Some people say they're too shy to sing. I used to be that way. I mean, to sing in public, in church. I used to be shy. What about who's watching me? Let me tell you, you need to get over that. You need to get over yourself. Because this isn't about us, this is about
Him.
Amen. I want to be that person God is looking for. Because let me tell you what happens. What happens when God finds that one? He's looking for someone to worship Him. What happens when He finds them? Let me tell you, God responds. 2 Samuel in chapter 2, it says, in chapter 22, it says, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from my enemies. Do you know that when you begin to give God praise and you begin to call upon Him, worship Him, the Bible says you'll be saved from your enemies. Now David wrote this. Do you know this is one of some of David's final words? He knew the power of praise. David had seen God deliver him when, because he was a praiser. I mean, David saw God give him victory over Goliath. David saw God do amazing things. He defeated such victories. He knew the power of praise. God is looking for people who worship Him. And you know, it's easy to give God praise when things are going good. It doesn't take much faith to give God praise when everything's going great. But what about when business slows down? What about when someone does you wrong? What about when the medical report says you're not going to get any better? We all have times when we feel like we're in the pits. You know, life's thrown as a curveball. And it's easy to get discouraged. It's easy to go around negative. And we think, well, when it turns around, then I'm going to, you know, have a good attitude. When my health improves, then I'll be grateful. When I get out of this mess, when I break this addiction, then I'll get my joy back. But that's really backwards. You've got to give God praise first. Because praise is what causes Him to turn it around. Praise is what breaks bondages that are holding you back. Praise is what activates God's favor in your life. Don't wait till you get out of the pit. Be a pit praiser. Praise Him in the pit. Praise Him in spite of what hasn't worked out. Praise Him in spite of what you lost. Praise Him. You know, anyone can give God praise when on the mountain, when you're up on the mountaintop. But the real test is, will you praise God in the valley? Will you worship Him in the wilderness? Will you shout when the walls aren't falling down? Will you be a pit praiser? Because that's what Joseph had to do. I mean, when Joseph was a young man, God gave him a dream. One day he would run a nation. And his brothers and his father and his mother would come and bow down before him. That's the dream he had. He was excited about it. He knew God's favor was on his life. He should have been a bit more discreet and kept it to himself. Do you know you can't share your dreams with everybody? You can't share your vision with everybody. You can't share an 8x10 vision with someone that has a 5x7 mentality. Because they'll just discourage you. But Joseph went around telling people about his dream. And his brothers didn't like the fact that he said they were going to bow down before him. That's eventually exactly what happened. And they were already jealous of him because Joseph was the youngest son and he was his father's favorite child. One day, his father asked him to go and check on his brothers that were taking care of the sheep. When they saw Joseph coming, they thought, this is our chance. We're going to get rid of him. We're going to tell our father he was eaten by wild animals. And they grabbed Joseph. They threw him into a pit. It was a deep well. They were going to leave him there to die. But let me tell you, when God puts a promise in your heart, people can't stop you. Bad breaks can't stop you. Betrayal, rejection can't stop you. People don't have the final say. I'm so glad God has the final say. But the dream God put on the inside of you is not going to come to pass without any opposition. There's going to be times when it's not fair, and there's going to be times when it doesn't make sense. But the key is don't get bitter. It's all part of God's plan. It looks like a setback. But let me tell you, the truth is, it's a setup to move you into your destiny.
Amen.
But here's the key. The key is, what do you do when you're in the pit? Has anyone ever felt like you're in the pit?
Oh.
Was it just me? When life has, you know, taken an unexpected turn, the relationship didn't work out, or you lost a loved one, or you got a bad medical report, it's tempting to get, you know, sour and start complaining and get negative and think about how it's not going to work out and talk about how, you know, never gonna get out of this. But all that will do is keep you in that pit. See, Joseph's brothers were having lunch while he was in the pit. And then they saw a caravan of Ishmaelites headed their way. And one of his brothers named Judah said this in Genesis 37, verse 26. Judah said to his brothers, "What profit is there if we kill our brother and we conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother in our flesh." And his brothers listened. Now, what does the next verse say? So the brothers pulled Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit, and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver, and they took Joseph to Egypt. Now, here's what's interesting. Do you know what the name Judah means? Does anyone know what the name Judah means? The name Judah literally means praise. That's what it literally means. The brother who saved Joseph's life was called Judah, which means praise. So you could say praise saved his life.
Amen.
Amen.
God was showing us that praise will protect your dream. The other brothers were saying, "Let's kill him, let's leave him to die." But praise rose up and said, "No, we're going to let him live." Praise changed the opposition's mind. Praise pushed back the forces of darkness. When you're in the pit, don't complain. Turn up your praise. You have to protect your dream. And the way you do it is by having Judah show up. Father, I thank you. You're fighting my battles. Lord, I thank you. This is a big problem, but you're a big God. You flung the stars into space. Nothing is too difficult for you, Lord. You know, the scriptures say that the spirit of faith is in our words. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13, it says, we have the same spirit of faith that is described in the scriptures when it says, "First I believe, and then I spoke in faith." We also first believe, and then we speak in faith. And if you read it from the Passion Bible, it says, what is the Passion? What did I just read? Went so fast. The message is, that's the Passion. Yes. The message is, we're not keeping this quiet, not in your life, just like the psalmist who wrote, "I believe it, so I said it." We say what we believe, and what we believe is that the one who raised up the Master Jesus will just as easily, certainly raise us up with you alive. Every detail works to your advantage and to God's glory. What does that mean? It means when I'm in the pit, it means that I've got to be speaking out words of faith. Amen. The Living Bible says we boldly say what we believe, trusting God to care for us, just as the songwriter did when he said, "I believe, and therefore I spoke." See, what kind of words are coming out of your mouth? Pastor Allen spoke about the law of words last week. Are you talking about how big your problem is, or are you talking about how big your God is? Are you complaining about the pit? Are you focused on what isn't fair? Who did you wrong? What didn't work out? No, you've got to wake up, Judah. Judah is in you. You're waiting for You may be waiting for someone else to deliver you, for someone else to pray for you, for someone else to cheer you up. You can deliver yourself. If you just get Judah up and start thanking God that he's turning it around, not complaining about the medical report, but thanking him that he's restoring your health. Are you with me? Not discouraged over your finances, but thanking him. Thank you, Lord, you supplied all of my needs. See, so when God sees you praising him in the pit, praising him in the loss, praising him in the storm, that's what he calls the sacrifice of praise. Because God knows it's not easy. He knows it wasn't fair. He knows they did you wrong. He knows you feel like quitting. But when you begin to praise him, in that pit, that moves God in a greater way. The sacrifice of praise carries more weight.
Yes.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
Hebrews 13 verse 15 says, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Just in case you didn't know what a sacrifice of praise is, a sacrifice of praise is something that comes out of your mouth. It's one thing to be grateful when things are going your way. It's important. We should be grateful for every good thing in our life. But let me tell you, when you're singing praises to God, when every circumstance says you should be discouraged, when you can say, Lord, I worship you in spite of what hasn't worked out, you better get ready for God to show up in your life, because that's called the sacrifice of praise. And God responds to that. Psalm 50, verse 23, it says, whoever sacrifices a thank offering glorifies me and makes a way, I will show him the salvation of God. Listen to that. When you offer a sacrificial offering of praise, the Bible says you make a way, and God will show you his salvation. When you say, Pastor Steve, I don't see a way out of this, you know the way out? Praise your way. Just praise your way up. David said in Psalm 40, verse 20, he said, he brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of a miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock. You may be in a pit right now. You may feel like you're in a pit right now. Believe me, I've been there myself. But I want to tell you right now, I've got good news for you. You're not staying in that pit. Have you heard that saying, you can't keep a good man down? Well, let me tell you, you can't keep a praiser down. Anybody can complain, anybody can be discouraged, but God is looking for some pit praises. People that will praise him no matter what happens. They'll praise him in the good times. And they'll praise him in the tough times. And they'll praise him when business is up. And they'll praise him when business is down. David said in Psalm 34 in verse number 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I'll bless the Lord at all times. I will praise the Lord at all times. Say, I'll praise the Lord at all times. Say, I'll bless the Lord at all times. Say, his praise will continually be in my mouth. Let me tell you something. You can't praise God and complain at the same time. You can't be positive and negative at the same time. You've got to choose. The Living Bible says, I will praise the Lord no matter what happens. I will praise the Lord no matter what happens. Say that. I will praise the Lord no matter what happens. I will constantly speak of his glories and grace. That's what Paul and Silas did in the scripture in Acts chapter 16. They were falsely accused. They were put in prison for doing a good deed. They were on their way to prayer meeting. They were on their way to church. And they met a young slave girl. She was a slave. She was possessed by a spirit of divination. She was a fortune teller and a psychic. Do you know, this is a little side note here, this is a little extra. Do you know that fortune tellers and psychics operate by a demon spirit?
Yes.
You never want to go see a psychic. You never want to go see a fortune teller. Because you are surrendering, you're opening yourself up to demonic influence. This young girl earned a lot of money for her masters And she was following Paul and Silas around for days, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God. And they've come to tell us how to be saved. These men are servants of the Most High God. They've come to tell us how to be saved." And she followed them around for days. Finally, Paul had enough of it. And he commanded the spirit, the demon spirit in her, to come out. And the demon came out. She was set free. Her masters were very angry because their cash cow was gone. She couldn't do sight. She couldn't tell fortunes anymore. She lost that ability. The demon went out of her. So they grabbed Paul and Silas. They brought them to the authorities. And they said, "These men are doing things that are against Roman law and custom." So the city authorities ordered them, number one, to be stripped naked and to be severely beaten with rods. Then they were thrown into prison. And the jailer was ordered to make sure they didn't escape. So he put them into the inner dungeon. That was the worst part, the deepest part of the prison. And he clamped their feet in stocks. So think about it. You've been stripped naked. You've been beaten black and blue. You've got your feet in stocks and you're in prison. How many of you agree, as the you're just feeling like a good time of praise right now? How many of you agree Paul and Silas could have been negative? They could have been bitter. They could have been, "Lord, how could you let this happen? We were out preaching, doing good, doing the right thing." Instead, they praised God from that prison, from that pit. At midnight, the Bible says, they were singing praises to God. In Acts 16, in verse number 25, Paul and Silas, undaunted, prayed in the middle of the night and sang songs of praise to God while all the other prisoners listened. This wasn't, "Well, praise you, Lord. Some people that praise God so quiet, I mean, you can't even hear them. No, they were, everyone was listening to them. And the Bible says suddenly, a great earthquake shook the foundations of the prison. And at once, every prison door flung open and the chains of all the prisoners came loose. How many of you know that's not a normal earthquake? I've never heard of chains falling off people in an earthquake. That was a supernatural. God shook that prison. There's a whole lot of shaking going on. Shake, rattle, and roll. When God heard the praises coming up from that jail, I imagine he turned to Gabriel. He said, "Gabriel, if they're going to praise me in the pit, if they're going to sing in the midnight hour, if they're going to offer up a sacrifice of praise, I just can't sit back, Gabriel. I'm going to go down there and I'm going to do something about it." Bible says suddenly, put that up for me, there was a massive earthquake and the foundations of the prison were shaken and all the doors flew open and chains fell off. Zephaniah chapter 3 verse 17 says this. Zephaniah 3 verse 17. "The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but he will rejoice over you with singing." Listen to me. When you give God praise in the difficult times, when you sing praise to God in the midnight hour, the Lord, your mighty warrior, not a weak God, not a lacking God, not a limited God, but the Lord, your mighty warrior, the all-powerful creator of the universe, not only will he take delight in you, but he will start singing over you. He will start singing. And let me tell you, when God sings, prison doors open, chains are broken, depression can't stay. All the elect have to go, family, when the Lord, your mighty warrior, starts singing over you. But you know, when you're in the pits, it's easy to have a pity party. It's easy to think, "But why did this happen? I prayed, but my loved one didn't make it. My relationship didn't work out. My house was damaged in the storm. I don't understand it." You're right where Joseph was. You're doing the right thing and the wrong thing happened. You're right where Paul and Silas were, honoring God, thrown into a pit, into a prison. You can either get negative, you can either get bitter, or you can praise Him in that pit. You can thank God, not for the pit, but thank God that He's bringing you out of that pit. Don't thank Him for the problem. Thank Him that He's turning the problem around for us. See, we're not gonna understand everything God is doing. There are times, like with Joseph, where that pit has been ordained by God. You see, if it wasn't for the pit, Joseph wouldn't have got to Egypt. God used that pit. We don't like it, but sometimes the pit is on the road to our destiny. God's plan for Joseph's life was to rule Egypt, not Israel. His brothers were ordained to betray him. He was ordained to be sold as a slave. He was ordained to work for a man named Potiphar, who was the captain in charge of the palace guard for Pharaoh. It was all part of God's plan to get into Egypt. Now, when we look back now, we see the plan. But you've got to put yourself in Joseph's shoes when he's in the pit. Right? Sometimes life's not going to make sense. You can do the right thing, but it's not working out. You've got to trust that God is still in control. He knows what He's doing. And He will not mismanage your life. God has already planned the end from the beginning. But God never promised that we'd understand everything that happens along the way. In fact, in Isaiah chapter 55, the scripture says, "My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you can imagine." God let us know right up front. It's not always going to make sense. This is what faith is all about. Trusting God when it doesn't always make sense. See, when God gave Joseph that dream, it showed him up and his brothers down. But when his brothers threw him in the pit, he was down and his brothers were up. It was just the opposite of what the dream was. He could have thought, "God, I must have heard you wrong. This is backwards. You said my brother's going to bow down to me, but here I am in the pit, and my brother's up there." He could have complained. He could have been bitter. But instead, his attitude was, "God, I trust you. You said my steps are ordered by the Lord. So wherever you have me, I'm going to be the best that I can be." And you know, Joseph excelled where he was. You never read once when Joseph complained or was bad or bitter or slacked off. I can imagine when he was in the pit, he must have had thoughts coming into his mind. Where's your God now? That dream is never going to come to pass. Because Joseph spent 13 years in prison for something he never did. The pit was simply a test. God was saying, "Will you trust me when you don't understand? Will you praise me in the pit when it doesn't make sense?" See, when you're a pit praiser, you can be in the pit and nobody around you even knows it. You know why? Because you're not negative, having a pity party, discouraged. You're not walking around with a chip on your shoulder. You've learned the secret to bless the Lord at all times. See, Joseph didn't allow the pit to stop his praise. I know it's all part of the process. God wouldn't have allowed this if He didn't have a purpose for it. There was a purpose for that pit. Would you agree? So it's not going to take my joy. I'm going to be a pit praiser. I can hear Joseph when he was in the pit. His brothers were up there having lunch. "Lord, I want to thank you that nothing can snatch me out of your hands. I want to thank you, Lord, that you being for me is greater than the whole world being against me. If God is for me, who can be against me?" And as he kept thanking God, his brother named Judah, whose name means praise, suddenly had an idea. "Let's not harm Joseph. Let's sell him to these Ishmaelites." Listen, that wasn't Judah's idea. God gave him that idea. See, because listen to me. When you give him God praise, God is fighting your battles. God's giving people ideas. God's putting thoughts into their mind, causing them to want to be good to you. But what if Joseph had not been a good praiser? What if he'd been negative, complaining, bitter? Maybe he would have stayed in the pit. Maybe he would have missed his destiny. You see, when you're in the pit, that's a test. Yeah. Are you going to get discouraged? Are you going to get bitter? Or are you going to protect your dream through praise? Are you going to wake up Judah? Because sometimes, like with Joseph, what God has promised us looks just the opposite. God says He's restoring health to you. Jeremiah 30 verse 17 declares, I will restore health to you and heal you of your wounds, says the Lord. But the medical report says you're not going to get better. God says your whole family is going to serve Him. In Acts chapter 16 verse 31, they replied, believe in the Lord Jesus, you will be saved along with everyone in your household. But maybe right now you have children, they're far off course. Don't get discouraged by what's not lining up. It's not over yet. God's still working. Behind the scenes, things are happening you cannot see. You've got to keep thanking God. You've got to keep giving Him praise that it's on the way. Amen. You know, in car racing, any fans of car racing here? Couple? Well, in car racing, when a car is low on fuel or needs new tires, they come in for a pit stop. Right? And when they pull into the pit, the team goes to work. They get the car refueled, they change the tires, they get it ready for the rest of the race, get it prepared. Do you know, in the same way, the pit stops in our life are not the end. When we're in the pits, we're in a difficult time, when we've had a bad break, listen, God uses that pit to refuel us, to get us prepared for the next season of our life, and the way that you get refueled is by your praise. Amen. Finding things to be grateful for. Not dwelling on what's wrong, but thanking God for what's right. Not focused on what you lost, but thanking God for what you have left. You might feel like you're in the pits right now. You've got a good reason to be discouraged. But I want you to have a new perspective today. You're in a time of refreshing. You're in a time of re-energizing, refueling. Without a few pit stops, you wouldn't be prepared for the rest of your journey. See, the problem is some people, they make the pit stop their home. They lose their passion. They get discouraged. They get negative. They get bitter. Listen, it's just a pit stop. I don't know anyone that has fulfilled their destiny without a few pit stops along the way. The heroes of faith, David, Moses, Abraham, Ruth, Esther, Paul, they all had pit stops. But here's the key, don't get stuck in the pit. It's a pit stop, not a pit end. It's not a pit finish. It's not a pit over and done. It's a pit stop. Your life is not supposed to end in defeat, in a bad break, in disappointment. God has victory in front of you. Someone says, well, Pastor Steve, I'm in a big pit. Then you need to have some big praise. You need to have some big faith. You need to have some big dreams. Don't believe the lie that where you are right now is permanent. No. God didn't breathe His life into you and crown you with favor and put royal blood in your veins for you to live in the pits. The pits are just temporary. But you're going to do your part. You're going to praise your way out of the pit. Let me tell you, the right attitude is, Father, I thank You that this pit is just a stop. It's not my final destination. I thank You, You're making a way where I don't see a way. What was meant to stop me is going to promote me. You're taking what was meant for my harm, and You're using it for my advantage. Amen. You see, if you'll stay full of praise, if you keep praising and thanking God and keep encouraging yourself, you will not only come out of that pit, but let me tell you something, you'll come out of it stronger, you'll come out of it into new levels, in new relationships, new opportunities, because after the pit is promotion. Yes. After the pit is favor. After the pit is the praise, is the palace. Joseph went from the pit to the palace. Joseph went on to see his dreams come to pass. Even though there were a lot of twists and turns, it was a winding, long and winding road. But he kept on moving forward. And he fulfilled his destiny. But if he had not been willing to praise God in the pit, he would have never made it to the palace. Did you hear what I said? If he hadn't been willing to praise God in the pit, he would have never made it to the palace. Could it be that a lack of praise is keeping you out of your palace? You waiting for God to turn things around? then you'll have a good attitude, then you'll praise God. But you've got to give praise to God in the pit. That's what allows Him to take you into the palace, into a new level of goodness.
Amen.
Deuteronomy 28 verse 47 says, you will become slaves to your enemies because of your failure to praise God for all His gifts. Do you know that a praise will take you out of the pit, but a lack of praise, the Bible says, will put you in that pit. You become a slave to your enemies by failing to give praise to God. Matthew chapter 15, Jesus, He just left Galilee, when this Canaanite woman came up to Him. Now the Canaanites were idol worshippers. They were Gentiles. They didn't believe in Jehovah. And for a lady to approach a man like that in that day was very unusual. A woman stayed in the background in those times. And this woman had traveled a great distance. And she came up to Jesus and she said in Matthew chapter 15 verse 22, behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to Him and said, have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David, my daughter is severely demon possessed. But He answered her, not a word. Jesus didn't answer. That was unusual. Because Jesus was normally so compassionate toward people. And He didn't answer. And she kept on begging and begging and begging and begging and begging. Until finally, the disciples came and urged Him and said, send her away, for she cries out after us. Jesus finally told her why He was ignoring her. In verse 24, He answered and said, I was not sent except for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I was sent for the house of Israel. What He was saying is, I'm sorry, lady, but you're not part of our family. I feel bad, but I can't take what belongs to the Israelites and give it to you. This lady had everything going against her. I mean, she was a Gentile. She was a Canaanite woman. She was an idol worshiper. She was a woman. But when she said, Son of David, have mercy on me, she was saying, I know you're the Messiah to the Israelites. I realize I'm outside the family. I don't have any right to this, but I'm asking you to make an exception. And when Jesus told her no, that could have been the end of the story. But this lady did something very interesting. Instead of continuing to beg, look what she did in verse number 25. Then she came, she changed her approach, and she worshipped. Then she came and worshipped. Lord, I worship you. Please help me. I worship you, Jesus. Please help me. He answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. She said, yes, Lord. Yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed that very hour. Now, a few minutes earlier, Jesus was ignoring her. What changed? She went from begging to worship. She went from begging to praise. That's how powerful praise is. See, praise moves God. Listen to me, family. Begging doesn't move God. You can beg God all day long. It doesn't show any faith. Complaining doesn't sway God, because it doesn't demonstrate faith. Praise demonstrates your faith. Jesus said she had great faith. Praise will cause the creator of the universe to show up in your situation. The Bible says in Psalm 22 verse 3, you are holy who inhabit the praises of your people. The Bible says God inhabits our praise. That means when you start to give God praise, God shows up. He inhabits our praises. And praise is what brings Him on the scene. You might think you're outside the family. You might think you don't deserve God's goodness. You've made mistakes. You brought that trouble on yourself. There might be a dozen reasons why God shouldn't do it. But if you'll do like this lady, and instead of begging God, rather give Him praise, rather begin to thank Him, bragging on His goodness, let me tell you, God will break protocol, so to speak, and do things that you don't deserve. What begging won't do, praise will do. No more, God, I'm begging you to do this, I'm begging you to heal me, I'm begging you to do that. Switch to praise. Father, I thank you, you're taking care of this. I thank you, you're restoring my house. I thank you, you're supplying all of my needs. I thank you that it's for me and my house. We will serve the Lord. Because let me tell you, God won't disappoint a praiser. God won't disappoint a praiser. Jeremiah 33 verse 10. Thus says the Lord. Yet again there shall be heard in this place of which you say it is a desolate waste, without man and without beast. Even in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem that are desolate, without man and without, we already read that. The next verse, 11. There shall be heard again the voice of joy and the voice of gladness and the voices of those who sing as they bring sacrifices. Sacrifices of thanksgiving into the house of the Lord. Give praise and thanks to the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good and His mercy and His kindness all continue forever. Now notice this. I will cause the captivity of the land to be reversed, and I will return to be as it was at first, says the Lord. God says, I will restore the fortunes of the land as they were before. God says, when I hear the sound of a sacrifice of praise, I will reverse and I will return and I will restore. Listen to me. When you offer the sacrifice of praise, God will cause the captivity of the land to be reversed and fortunes to be restored. There might be some things you need reversed and restored in your life.
Amen.
You may not see how it can happen, but if you go through the day giving God praise, saying, Father, I want to thank you that the answer is on the way. I want to thank you, Lord, that you're working behind the scenes. I want to thank you, Lord, that you're bringing me out of this. I want to thank you, Lord, that you're supplying every need in my life. Let me tell you, because you're offering a sacrifice of praise, God is going to reverse finances that are down. God will reverse a negative medical report. God will reverse a legal situation. Not only that, but God will restore what should have been yours. Restore years that you lost because somebody did you wrong. God will restore a relationship that's going down. He will restore health back to your body. It's going to happen because of your praise. As you give Him praise, God will give restoration and God will reverse things. In the scriptures, and I'm coming in for a close, coming in for a landing, fasten your seatbelts, tray tables up please. In the scriptures, the Israelites had traveled for 40 years through the desert, trying to make it to the promised land. Their parents never did make it in because they complained and they were negative and eventually they died in the wilderness. Now their children are at Jericho, the last city that stood between them and the promised land. Can you imagine how excited they were? They could get through Jericho. They could see this dream that they had had for 40 years come to pass. The land of milk and honey. God gave the land of Israel to the Israelites, to the Jewish people. I'm just saying. 3,000 years ago. 4,000 years ago, God told Abraham, I'll give you as far as you can see the land of Canaan, which is the land of Israel. So, let me just tell you, there will always be a Jericho that stands between you and your promised land. One last obstacle that looks insurmountable. You've come this far, you've done so well, but you don't see how you're going to get past that. That's how the Israelites felt. They could taste the victory. After years, they were finally within reach. But the problem was, Jericho had a wall around the city that was so thick that chariots could race on top of the wall. It looked impossible to penetrate that wall. They would race chariots on the top of the wall. So God said to Joshua, In Joshua 6, in verse number 2, the Lord said to Joshua, I have given you Jericho, its king, and all its strong warriors. You and your fighting men should march around the town once a day for 6 days. 7 priests will walk ahead of the ark, each carrying a ram's horn. On the 7th day, you are to march around the town 7 times with the priest blowing the horns. When you hear the priest give one long blast on the ram's horns, then all the people, say all the people, say all the people, all the people shout as loud as they can, then the walls of the town will collapse and the people can charge straight into the town. I imagine Joshua told the people, you know, I imagine the people probably said to Joshua, listen, I think it's a better idea. Let's shout after the walls fall down. After we take the city, then we give God praise. Then we have a party. There's no reason to do it before. It doesn't make any sense. Why would you shout when the walls are still standing? Joshua said, listen, you're missing the point. The shout is what's going to cause the walls to fall down. Like them, often, we want to shout after we have a victory. But God is saying, if you give me praise when the wall's still standing, then you'll see things really begin to change. Do you trust God enough to praise Him in front of a wall that's not moving? To worship Him with a bad medical report? To thank Him for freedom when you still have the addiction? To thank Him for supplying your needs when there's no money in the bank? The Israelites stood in front of that wall and they let out a great shout of praise. It didn't make sense to their minds. Everything said, you've been foolish. You're on the outside, nothing's happening. But they just kept giving God praise. They just kept shouting. And Joshua said to them, don't even talk. Do not even talk. Not a single word from any of you until I tell you to shout, then shout. Why did he tell them not to talk? Because he didn't want them complaining. He didn't want them murmuring. He knew what their history was. I don't want a word out of your mouth until I tell you to shout. Some of us would do good to learn to be quiet if we can't be positive. And it says in verse 20, when the people heard the sound of the ram's horn, they shouted as loud as they could. And suddenly, the walls of Jericho collapsed. And the Israelites charged straight into the town. And they captured the town. First city on the way to the promised land. Do you know that I looked it up? Archaeologists have confirmed that not only did that huge wall come tumbling down, in fact, we went to Jericho. 1993, we went to Jericho, we went to Israel. You know what's amazing to me? Those walls fell in such a way that they fell straight down into the ground. So they could just walk across. Because if the walls came down, there was rubble. They had a hard time getting over. It's like God took those walls and just pushed them straight on down. And they just walked right over. Right. Let me tell you, when you give God praise, He doesn't just bring down walls. He'll make a path so you can go in and take your promised land. He'll make your rough places smooth. He'll make the crooked path straight. Maybe you've got a big obstacle in front of you. You don't see how you could ever get past it. Don't complain. Turn up your praise. Because praise is what's going to bring the walls down. I said praise is what's going to bring the walls down. Maybe you feel like you're in a pit. You said, Steve, I feel like I'm in the pit. I've had some bad breaks. Being bitter is not going to make it any better. You've got to bring Judah on the scene. You've got to be a pit praiser. All through the day, Father, I want to thank you. You're fighting my battles. I want to thank you. You hold victory in store for the upright. I want to thank you, Lord. You are leading me and you are guiding me into a place of victory. The Lord leads his people in triumph. I want to thank you, Lord, that you are supplying all of my needs. I want to thank you, Lord, and praise you that you are restoring my health. I want to thank you, Lord, that all my children, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I want to thank you, Lord, that you are giving me victory. I want to thank you, Lord, that you are my mighty warrior, Lord, and you're fighting my battle. I want to give you praise. Let me tell you, if you'll do this, I declare in the name of Jesus, like Joseph, you coming out of that pit into your palace, like Joshua, those walls that have been holding you back, they're being broken right now, like Jehoshaphat. God is fighting your battles, bringing confusion to your enemy, and giving you the victory in the name of Jesus. Look at family, like Nehemiah. God is going to reverse, and God is going to restore. You're going to see healing. You're going to see breakthrough. You're going to see promotion. You're going to see vindication. You're going to see provision. You are going to see victory. You're going to see the fullness of your destiny. If you will be a praiser, if you will be a pit praiser, God is looking for those who will worship him. Will you say, Lord, here I am. I will worship you. I will bless you at all times, Lord. No matter what happens, I am going to give you praise. Come on, let me hear you. Give God praise. Come on, take your hand.
Hello.
everybody clapping, everybody praising, rich and poor, every person, male and female. Amen. Now we're going to sing one more. Can you handle one more song?
Yes.
Can you give God praise one more time?
Yes.
This song is called None. How many of you know there's none like our God? There's none so great. There's none so good. There's none so kind. I want you to lift your hands up. The words are on the screen, on the walls. Lift your hands and let's sing it out, Lord. We worship you.
The night.
your power. Your praise will constantly be in my mouth. No matter what, Lord, no matter what happens, I will give you praise on the mountaintop, and I will give you praise in the darkest valley. I will give you praise in the palace, and I will give you praise in the pit. I will bless the Lord at all times. Lord, you are looking for those who will worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, today I want to commit to you. I want you to know that I'm one of those that you are looking for. That I'm a praiser. That I'm a worshiper. That I'm going to give you praise every day of my life. Throughout the day, I'm going to bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me. I'm going to bless your holy name. Lord, I thank you that you are my mighty warrior. I thank you, Lord, that as I praise you, you fight my battle. As I praise you, the walls come tumbling down. As I praise you, you deliver me from every peril, from every prison. You restore my health. You supply my needs. You bring promotion. You bring victory. Lord, I praise you today that you are my God. There's no God like our God. There's no God who delivers like our God. Come on, keep coming. Lift your hands and give me heaven. Give me praise. Praise. Praise.
Into the land that God was going to give them, and God told them how to get in there,
And then he told them how to act once they got in there. So they get instructions in Deuteronomy 26, and it really was instructions about bringing their first fruits or their tithe to the Lord, and told them how to do it. So it says in verse 1, it says, when you have come into the land which the Lord your God gives you as an inheritance to possess it and live in it, you shall take some of the first of all the produce of the soil which you harvest from the land the Lord your God gives you, and you'll put it in a basket, and you'll go to the place or the sanctuary which the Lord your God has chosen as the abiding place for his name and his presence. And you shall go to the priest who is in office in those days and say to him, I give thanks this day to the Lord your God that I have come into the land which the Lord God swore to our fathers to give us. And the priest shall take the basket from your hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord your God. So in those first few verses, we see that the instruction was that when you come into the land, you take the first part, whatever that land produces, which is the tithe. We're not farmers, but it's like the tenth of our income. And you bring it to the priest, you bring it to the house of God, where God's name abides. Then you come and you present it before the Lord by giving thanks. And then it goes on from verse 5 onwards, and I won't go, I read it all, but you can read it at home. And he tells them to declare, this is where I was. This is where God has brought me. This is what the Lord has done in my life. So when they came to bring the tithe, they worshiped God and they thanked him that they had been delivered from where they were. And they remembered all the things that God had done for them, and they gave thanks for it. How many of you, God's done some things in your life that you can be thankful for? I can't even begin. We'd be here all day. We started going down here and asking, you know, give or tell us some things God's done in your life. Then God is so good to us. He's taking care of us in so many ways. And here we are, you know, yesterday was the 20th of January. I got saved on the 20th of January, 1980. So that's 38 years. And I think, I can't even begin to number the things God's done in my life. But when we come and give, the Bible says, come and give thanks and remind God how thankful you are for where he has brought you from. Amen?
Yeah.
So the first thing we see in this is that we give with a thankful heart. We're not doing God a favor. We're not being coerced to, you know, oh, the church needs my money. No, it's got nothing to do with that. This is about us being thankful to God for what he's done and what he's doing in our lives. Amen? So first of all, are you thankful? Anyone thankful here? I'm thankful. And then secondly, it goes on in verse 15, it says, after they thank God, remind God of where they've come from, remind themselves of what God's done in their life, verse 15 it says, you will say to the Lord, look down from your holy habitation from heaven and bless your people Israel and the land which you've given us as you swore to our fathers, a land flowing with milk and honey. So the two things I see here that God is showing us is, first of all, we give with thankful hearts. And secondly, we give with expectation. They didn't just come to give. You know, some people go like, oh, well, my motive is, you know, not to receive. No, they always came and they said, now, Lord, look down on us and bless us. Bless the land that we're working. Bless the work of our hands. There's no problem with you asking God to bless what you're doing.
That's right.
Amen? He expects us to do that. So today as we give, I ask you to do it that way. Do it with thankful hearts and do it with an expectation that God's hand is upon your life and upon whatever you put your hand to. Amen? We're ready to give this morning. There are envelopes right on the seat where you are. Those that are watching online, you can go ahead and give online. And the various ways to give are up there. But we are thankful. You know, I drove past here the other day. I came out, I don't know where I went, maybe McDonald's, my grandson. I drove out and I looked at this building and I just said, thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, that this was built right in time for what we need. You know, there's so much to thank God for. It may not be your perfect, your ultimate, but God is always doing something to provide for us. Amen?
Yeah, amen.
So today as we give, we really give with thankful hearts. Let's just pray right now. Father, we thank you. Just say where you are. Say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
that I'm not where I was. For all the things you've done for me along the way. For the prayers that you've answered. For the times you've been with me. In difficult times. You brought me out of
it.
And I thank you, Lord, for what you have blessed me with. I thank you for my income. I thank you for my career. I thank you for my business. And today I honor you. And I give you thanks.
I give you thanks.
By bringing my tithe and offering.
By bringing my tithe and offering.
And I ask you, Lord,
ask
to look down.
To look down.
Upon my life.
Upon my life.
Upon my family.
Upon my family.
Upon my business.
Upon my business.
Upon my endeavors.
Upon my endeavors.
And bless me, Lord.
Bless me.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise Amen. God. Go ahead. Ushers, you can go Praise ahead and God. Receive the offering.
Praise God. Well, is anyone glad you came to church today? I'm glad you did too. I'm glad you did too. Praise God. I want to thank all of our volunteers. Everyone who served in God's house today. Our setup team, thank you so much for setting up. Being here at 6:30. Our ushers, our children's volunteers in the children's church, our usher team, our musicians, our the singers, and am I forgetting anyone? I'd hate to forget anyone because we appreciate the people who come and pray. Thank you for praying. Amen. Thank you for praying. Thank you for giving. Thank you for everyone who invited someone to come to church today.
Yeah.
Did anyone invite someone? Sherry, I know you did. You invited someone today, right?
Yeah, they didn't jump. I didn't.
I never asked that. You invited them. That's you invited them. Yeah, I'm ready. Don't forget that little card on your seat. That little card that's sitting on your seat. You know there's a reason for it. It's to take it with you. And this week to invite someone, say, hey, you know what? I want to invite you to Christian Family Church. I had a great time last Sunday. I hope you did. And I'd like you to come with me. Bring someone with you. Don't go to heaven by yourself. Let's take as many people as we can. Try to keep Jesus a secret. Declare him. Amen? Bow your heads for a moment if you would as we pray. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for everyone who's here today and for everyone who's watching this, Lord. I thank you that you are working in their life in a great and a mighty way. I thank you that you're bringing them up out of every pit, delivering them out of every prison, breaking every chain, tearing down every wall, Lord. I thank you for freedom. I thank you for healing. I thank you for provision. I thank you for victory. We give you all the honor. We give you all the glory. Lord, I pray today that your word that has come forth, that it would go down deep into every heart. And that, Lord, that we would truly be a people who would praise and worship you. We would be praises every day of our life. In the name of Jesus. While you have your heads bowed, while you have your eyes closed, we never like to conclude a service without praying and giving people the opportunity to just make sure that they are right with God, to get right with God. If you're here this morning and you said,